So just to go over the last point that we left off with, on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So Abaye, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 lines down from the top. So it says, Amar Leah Abaye. So if you remember, the issue was, we want to know if the two types of schach puzzle are mitstaref to become a problem. So Rabbah was defending himself by saying that my opinion is that schach puzzle has a shiur of arba amos. So in order for schach puzzle to be a problem, whether it's on the side by a wall or whether it's the strip in the middle that's going to separate the sukkah into two, it's not a problem until it's 4 hours, and that's a shiur. And therefore, the shiur of airspace and the shiur of schach puzzle are two totally different shiurim. They're just two different types of schach puzzle. So the two shiurim are never going to add to one another. You can't add a little bit of airspace to a little bit less than 4 tvachim of schach puzzle. And similarly, you can't add a little bit of schach puzzle to less than 3 tvachim of airspace. They're two different things. Yeah? So you can't mix the two shiurim. But he turns to the Talmidim of Rav. He says, but according to you guys, it's schach puzzle. And the explanation of what he's saying to them is that you don't have a shiur for your schach puzzle. I do. I'm claiming the shiur is arba amos. You claim it's 4 tvachim. Where do you get 4 tvachim from? The answer is because you're saying it's a significant space. It's a makom chashuv. So to go ahead and have schach puzzle in enough amount that it occupies a makom chashuv, a significant amount of space, you're sitting under a significant amount of problematic schach. So who cares if it's airspace or if it's filled in with stuff that's no good? At the end of the day, you're sitting in a significant area of your sukkah that has no legitimate schach. So why shouldn't it join together? That's his taina against them. If you're talking about two different types of schach puzzle, and one has a shear of this, and one has a shear of that, different shiurim, so you could argue there are different things that are not mitzdare if they don't join together. I mean, you're not claiming that. You're claiming your problem of schach puzzle, say it's metal spits. Your problem with it is that it occupies too significant of an area of your sukkah. That's where you get 4 tvachim from. So then who cares if it's airspace or if it's something that's metal? At the end of the day, it occupies a space that's significant. Your sukkah, there's no schach. So why shouldn't it join together to be problematic? It's a problematic space. Yeah, this far it makes sense? You understand what he's saying? Again? Good? The idea is that there's a difference between... The question is, when can you join together two types of schach puzzle and say, well, this puzzle's in 4 tvachim, this puzzle's in 3 tvachim, so why shouldn't they join together? I gave the example yesterday of like food, right? That if you have non-kosher food, so there's a little bit of shrimp, a little bit of pig, a little bit of lobster. Like, what's the difference? But you're not allowed to eat a kezias of any of them. So perhaps if you had a kezias of all three things mixed together, maybe you should argue that you ate a kezias of forbidden food. And now we should punish you. But if you had a kezias maybe of something that... I give you a dumb example. Is a carpet. Let's say the carpet was prohibited. So we'll make up an example. So carpet is prohibited, two kezias. You eat 2 kezias of carpet and we punish you. But pig is 1 kezias. So should pig count towards the carpet? No, carpet's something else. There's a prohibition to eat carpet. The prohibition is with 2 kezasim. If you eat 1 kezias of carpet and 1 kezias of pig, then you didn't accomplish 2 kezasim of carpet. It's just not 2 kezasim of carpet. They don't join together to become one. But if you have one basic prohibition, not allowed to eat something, and you mix in different types of things you're not allowed to eat, well, that's an overarching prohibition. You consume the kezias as something you're not allowed to eat. One is this, one is this, one is this. Okay, but it's all essentially one prohibition, if you could argue that. In which case, they'll join together. So Rabbah defends himself by saying that if you have less than 4 amos of metal poles, and less, and right next to it, less than 3 tvachim of airspace, so you have neither one is problematic. Because not enough of either one to be a problem. So they say to him, well, why shouldn't it join together? He says, according to me, it makes sense they don't join together. Because metal is a problem only when it hits 4 amos. Less than 4 amos is not a problem. And airspace is 3 tvachim. So it's like 2 separate issues. There's chach basel and there's airspace. The proof that they're 2 totally separate issues is because they have different shiurim. So they respond, the Talmidim of Rav respond to Rav and say, yeah, but we also hold there's 2 different shiurim. Schach pasel is 4 tvachim. And airspace, avir, is 3 tvachim. So it's 2 separate issues. He says, no, it's not. According to you, no, it's not. Because according to you, your shiur for the schach pasel of 4 tvachim, where'd you get it from? Where'd you get it from? He says, I know where you got it from, and so do you. It's because you're claiming it's a significant area of a sukkah. Do you understand what I mean by that? That's the starting point of his whole argument. Is that you're only saying 4 tvachim of metal is a problem because it occupies a significant area of your sukkah. 4 tvachim is a significant area. Well, if that's where it comes from, that it's problematic at 4 tvachim, then who cares if you add on a little bit of airspace? You have less than 4 tvachim of metal. And you have another tvach of airspace. So why shouldn't they join together to be problematic? At the end of the day, isn't it true? You are sitting in a significant space of your sukkah that's no schach. So they should join together. And that's his argument. So Abaye, Amar Le Abaye, Abaye responds and says, Ulamar Nami, according to you also, Rabba, Nahi, it's clear, Delo Shavu Shirayu, B'Sukkah Gedoyla, that schach pasul is 4 amos, and avir is 3 tvachim in a large sukkah. But isn't it true that you admit they have the same shear when it's a sukkah kitana, a small sukkah? What do you mean? I thought sukkah pas was only a problem at 4 amos. So what Abaye is claiming is just a mathematical point. If you have a sukkah kitana, that means bird's eye view, you have 7 by 7 by 7. Right? That's the minimum shear of a sukkah. So if you have less than 3 tvachim of airspace, so normally we would say love, right? And then you have less than 4 tvachim of, I don't know, metal. So what are you going to say? So your sukkah's fine? What do you have? You have a little piece of bamboo in the middle of your sukkah? We're going to say it's kosher? Obviously, in a sukkah, ketana, so we're going to say this is pasul. With the same amount, 3 tvachim and 3 tvachim is going to be a problem. There's only 1 tefach left. Right, because 3 plus 3 plus 1 is 7. So, obviously, you're going to say that sukkah pasul is a problem in a sukkah ketana in the same amount as airspace is a problem. Isn't that true? So you see that there is at least a case where even you agree, Rabba, that schach pasul has the same shear as airspace. In which case, they should join together now, shouldn't they? Even in a large sukkah, they should join together because they do have a common shear. Right? That's his argument back then. Very interesting. So Rabba responds, Amar Lei, Rabbi said back to Abaye, Hassam over there in the case of the small sukkah, the reason why that sukkah is no good is not because the shi'ur is equal of airspace and schach pasul and they join together to be a problematic shi'ur. That's not the pshat. It's because you don't have the shi'ur of a sukkah. You simply don't have any schach in that sukkah. You don't have a proper amount of anything in that sukkah. You have like a piece of bamboo. That's it. So it's not because the shiurim joined together, it's just because you don't have a proper sukkah. So that's not a proof that when the sukkah katana, the shiurim are equal, are the same. Okay, that's the end of that discussion. Then the Gemara goes on to this topic in general, and the Gemara wants to know, is it really true that if you have 2 items that don't have the same shiur, then they can't join together? That's the argument that we made, right? That was Rabba's argument, that if you have something, I gave this silly example of carpet. If carpet is prohibited to be eaten in 2 kazaisim, and other things are prohibited to be eaten in 1 kazais, so they're not going to join together because it's as if the different shiurim are a proof that they're different concepts. They're different isurim. Are you okay with that, the way I said it? If you have two things that are prohibited in different amounts, it reveals to you that the prohibitions are actually two different prohibitions. Yeah? No, again. If you have two prohibitions, they have nothing to do with each other, then they can't join together. You're not going to violate something by doing a little bit of either one, because then you did neither. Yeah? But if they have some overarching common denominator between them, they're really one prohibition. It's just that, you know, you did a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Okay, so then they joined together. You ended up accomplishing that prohibition. So usually we would argue that if they have different shiurim, so then doesn't that reveal about them that they're different prohibitions? So Gemara says, okay, is that really true? That whenever you have something with different shiurim that they cannot join together, I'll prove to you you're wrong. I'll show you an example where I'm going to bring something that has different shiurim, and I'll show you that they can actually join together. What's the example? The Gemara says like this: "V'kol heicha, and every place, everywhere, the lo shavu shiurayu, where they are not equal, the shiur, the amounts are not the same, the hadadei to each other, lo mitzdarfe, they don't join together? ! Really? V'hotanan, but didn't we learn in a Mishnah? Habeged shleisha shleisha. If you want to know when something is makabel tuma and is problematic in terms of tuma, because these are things we're sitting on. These are mats. So there are different areas of tuma v'tara. Something is going to be susceptible to tuma for different reasons, depends on what it is. If you remember, we discussed in the past, like a little patch of a piece of clothing. So if you have a little patch, well, it depends. If it could be used as a patch for clothes, it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers. So then that's makabel tuma, we consider it clothing. Yeah? If it's too small, then what are you going to use it for? It's not clothing anymore. Now what if you have something that's not clothing? It's a mat. My kids have mats, right? They go to school and they need naps. So they'll bring in a mat to sleep on, to sit on, and all different kinds of mats. So you have a mat is susceptible to tuma. Why is a mat susceptible to tuma? It's not clothing. What? It's 4 corners. We discussed that in Hilchos Tzitzis also, right? So why should a mat be susceptible to tumah? The answer is because you sit on it. And anything that you sit on has a very special form of tumah called tumas mishkav umoshav. Tumah that you sit on or you lean on or anything like that is susceptible to tumah. So, I mean, this is crazy. We don't live like this, but you can imagine. Times be samikdash. So your wife becomes anida, and anything she sits on becomes tumah. Any couch, any chair, like, they all become tummy. Like, that's a pretty big deal, right? That would be crazy. So we don't live like that anymore. We don't pay any attention to things anymore. But in the times of Beis HaMikdash, this was a big deal. Whoever sat on it next would become tummy. And there was a Kohen with all kinds of nafkaminas, with truma, oh wow. So a mat is susceptible to tummy because you sit on it. So depending on what type of material it is, so those are the kinds of mats that a person would sit on and would use. If the mat is made out of beged, it's made out of just regular kind of cloth, maybe it's wool or cotton, I don't know, whatever it is. So then, in order to be susceptible to tumah, it has to be 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. So if you can picture it, how big is a tefach? You know, so 3 fists worth. So that's it's about the size of a small chair. So that size mat would be susceptible to tumah. Sack, if it's sack cloth, you know, burlap, that kind of material. Arbo, then apparently it has to be bigger than that. It has to be 4 by 4 for various different reasons, whatever the reasons are. But or chamisha, if it's leather, then 5 by 5 tefachim. Mappets, if it's some kind of reeds or whatever those things are, you know, papyrus, I don't know, whatever they made it out of, 6 by 6. So that means that all of these different types of mats have different shiurim. V'tani Allah, and we have a brayso, we have a commentary on the Mishnah that says the following: Habeged v'hasak. If you have something that's made out of both cloth as well as burlap, as sackcloth, hasakva, or something that's made out of the sackcloth and also leather, or v'mapitz, leather and also some kind of reeds, mitzdarfin zemze, and they join together for a shear of a beged, of a mat. So you can have a mat made out of 2 different materials, and they'll join together to be problematic. The shiurim will combine. So how could that be, according to you, Rabbi? Because you just made the argument that if you have two separate shirim, then the things don't combine. But now you see there are things in Tumah V'Tahara of different shirim, and they combine. Hasam over there, kilikatani taima. Is as we learn in the Mishnah the reason. Oh, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, Muatam, what's the reason that they're mitzareif, that they join together? Hoyil, since Viro'ui Lutame Moisha. That they are all fitting to be to create tuma through sitting. Wait, what do you mean? So the Gemara explains. Kiddisan, as we learn in the Mishnah. Hamkatseya mikulan tefach al tefach tame. If a person cuts from each one of these different mats, a tefach, it's a very small mat. Tame. It's tame? A tefach? Why would a tefach of all of the mats be tame? What, in other words, let's say that you have a tame mat and you cut off a tefach from it. So it's tame? Why should it still be tame? It should be tar now because it's not a mat anymore. Remember, we spoke before about the opinion that held that it's still considered to be a clothing as long as it came from clothing, right? And we tried to prove, is he right, is he wrong, remember? But here, if you go ahead and you have a kli, and you smash it, right? It's not usable anymore. It's not a usable kli anymore. It's not a mat anymore. The bed. Isn't that what we said? You take apart a bed. Well, as long as it's still enough bedpost that you can lean it up against the wall and use it as a couch, okay, then it's still a bed. But one bedpost? What are you doing? It's not a bed anymore. So how could it be? So maybe if it's still tame, maybe it continues to be tame. But it doesn't have the use that it had before. You can't consider it to be a mat. So let's say it wasn't tame. You cut off a tefach. Now it's susceptible to tumah as a mat? It's not a mat anymore. What are you talking about? So if you start off and you weave something that's just a tefach, then everyone agrees that's not called a mat. But apparently, if it did start off as a mat, and you cut a tefach off of it, it's still a mat! Well, excuse me, why should it still be a mat? So Gemara explains, tefach al tefach l'maychazi. One tefach by one tefach, what are you going to do with it? How can you sit on that? What are you going to use it for? What's it fitting for? V'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that's Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, if you remember Yonai, in the name of Rabbi Yonai, hoyol ve'ro'oi, since it is appropriate, litloi, or there's another girsa here, which is litloi, agabe chamor, either to put it or to replace a worn-out spot on the back of a donkey. In other words, sometimes you have, either it's the saddle itself or it's the saddle mat, whatever you call this thing. Anybody here ever dress a horse? Nobody? Oh, good, so that I can see whatever I want. When you put a saddle on a horse, there is a saddle blanket that goes under the saddle. That way it doesn't give the animal abrasions from the saddle itself. So when I was in Boy Scout camp many years ago, and I was getting my horsemanship merit badge, and I had to get up at 5:30 in the morning to prepare my stallion, Justin, for his day. So I had to brush him, and he had to learn all, what is it, 54 parts of the horse, whatever it was. And part of it was he had to put on his saddle blanket, and he had to put on his saddle. So whatever exactly this refers to, there's both a blanket and there's a saddle that goes on the horse, donkey, whatever animal may be, camel, I don't know. So whatever it is, that if you have a hole, you could use this as a patch for the mat, for that which you sit on, either the saddle or the saddle blanket or whatever it is. So you could use it as a patch for the saddle. So since it originally came from a mat, and it's still useful as a mat, because you can patch up your saddle or your blanket with it, so then that is considered to be still susceptible to tumah. So at the end of the day, what did Gemara just say? Gemara had a question. The question was, how can you argue that if you have items with different shiurim, they're not mitzareif? I will give you an example of items that have different shiurim and are mitzareif. Wow, bam kasha. Gemara answers, that's different. Why is that different? Because they all essentially do have the same shiur. Because there is a scenario where they're all one tefach, and there could still be makabel tumah. Aye, but we just finished saying that if it's made out of this material, it's 3, and that material 4, and that material 5, and that material 6. What are you talking about? The answer is yes. If you're making a mat just like that, it's made out of that material, so then it requires to be that big in order to be susceptible to tumah. But if it already was a mat, then a tefach from any of them is still susceptible to tumah because it's still considered to be a mat. How can it be a mat? It's only a tefach. Because we still use those types of things for things that you sit on. The Gemara's example is the saddle or the saddle blanket that people did sit on, and a tefach was used for a patch to patch them up. So they all have the same shear at the end of the day in one situation. And because they have an overlapping, it's like a common denominator. Since they all do have a common denominator that they're all mekabel tumah at one tefach, then they can be mitzaref even when they are bigger than that. Because they all share that tefach in common. That's the Gemara's answer. And therefore, you don't have a proof that things with different shiurim are mitzaref. Unless you can demonstrate that they all do have a common shiur in some scenario. So let me try to say this clearly. If you have some issue where they have different shiurim to violate or whatever, but there's one situation in which they overlap and they all do have the same shiur, then they will be mitzaref. But if you can't identify a situation where they have an overlapping shiur, if there's no common denominator in any case where they all have the same shiur, then because they have different shiurim of violation, then they're not going to be mitzaref. And in fact, that's what the Gemara seem to be trying to do by saying that when Abaye says to Rabba, put it in a sukkah kitana, they have the same shiur. Right? That seems to be exactly what Abaye was saying a minute ago. And the Gemara is spelling it out now very clearly that it's true. And in Hilchos Tuma V'Tahara, when there is a common denominator in shiur, then the thing will be mitzaref. Now, Basura Amar L'Hashmai D'Bahai Lishna. In Sur, you guys, there were two major communities before the Torah spread. You know this? In the times of the Gemara, there were Chachamim and Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and two major communities in Bavel, Sura and Pampadisa. These were the two major Jewish communities in the times of the Gemara. Now, eventually, what happened was there were these four major Talmid Chachamim that were captured. Did you know this? The four captives? Anybody ever take Jewish history? There are these four captives after the times of the Gemara and the times of the early Gaonim. And those four captives were major Talmid Chachamim. And they were being ransomed off by the nasty people that captured them. So the Jewish communities that were in other places actually paid the ransom to get these massive Talmidei Chachamim to come to their communities. And they did. They were successful. So each one went to like a different community spread out from where they were in Bavel, Sura, and Pampadisa, much farther away to other communities. In Morocco and all these other places. So when they got to the communities, they're like, wow, there are like a lot of Jews here. They're like, not a lot of Torah here. We must start yeshivas. So it was amazing. It was a mamash, an act of siyata d'shmaya, that the Kaddish Baruch Hu spread out these Talmidei Chachamim to these far-out communities, and they started yeshivas in all these different places. And that's actually how the Jewish community began to spread past Bavel, after the times of the Gemara. And that's when you get to the times of the Goyim, that in those times of the Goyim, the Torah began to spread, and the communities began to spread, until you find yourself in the times of the Rishonim, that there's Provence, and Turkey, and like you have Jews in like all these different places already, and serious gedolim coming from these places. It was all because of that, how the Jewish community began to spread, and Torah began to spread because of that. But in the times of the Gemara, Sura and Pampadisa, like that's where everybody was. So in Sura, that's how they learned this whole Shagavataria. So if you remember, the basic gist was that you have the Talmidim of Rav that insisted on what? That there's a difference between the Shi'ur in the middle, a strip down the middle of a sukkah, between Tzach Pasal and what? An airspace. That's how this all started. It all started with the difference between Tzach Pasal and airspace. Everyone agrees that if you have Tzach Pasal up against a wall on the side of a sukkah, it's no problem until you hit Dalet Amos, because we say what? Dofen Akuma. Shaila is, and if it's airspace on the side of a sukkah, you can't say Dofen Akuma, but you can say Lovewood. So you have to have less than 3 tefachim of airspace. You can't say Dofen Akuma with airspace. In the middle of a sukkah, everyone agrees that if you have less than 3 tefachim of airspace in the middle of your sukkah, you have two mats, right? And the mats don't touch. So you have airspace in the middle of your sukkah. It does not split your sukkah into two, right? If you remember the picture that we drew yesterday, was if you have a sukkah of 3 walls, you have a mat that goes almost to the middle, and another mat that goes almost to the middle. But here you have airspace. So if that airspace is considered to be split your sukkah in two, you only have a sukkah with 2 walls. You're stuck. So when does a sukkah get split into two? The answer is when you have 3 tefachim or more of airspace. Okay, everyone agrees to that. What if you have schach puzzle in the middle of your sukkah? What if in the middle of your sukkah you have strips of metal? So then,
you have a machlokas.
Now, the previous Gemara, the way they learned it in Surah, Rabba was the one that insisted Schach Pasel is always the same shiur. What's the shiur? 4 amos. Just like Dofen Akuma. Not because of Dofen Akuma, though, because it has its own shiur of 4 amos. That is the opinion of Rabba, the way they learned it in Surah. And he was talking to who, if you remember? He was talking to the Talmidim of Rav. The Talmidim of Rav said, no. Schach Pasel in the middle of a sukkah is a problem at 4 tfachim. Yeah? And that's what Talmidim of Rav insisted. Something funny. Anyway, so far in Surah, they learned it was machlokas between Rabbah and Rav, basically. The Talmidim of Rav. So they're saying this in the name of Rav. So again, so just to make sure we have the names clear, Rabbah says Schach Pasel, I'll write it on the board. He says 4 amos. And Rav, but it's really the Talmidim of Rav, right? Rav was alive earlier than Rabba. But Rav is arguing with the Talmidim of Rav. So he goes back to Rav. Rav said 4 tfachim. That's a huge difference, right? Those of you not on your phones, it's a huge difference. So that's how they learned the surah. The Gemara says in Pumpadisa they had a different Masorah. So I'll read it from the dot. It says, Basura Amri la Shmaita Bahai Shalishna. In Surah they said this Shmaita. Shmaita means like a hearing, you know, I don't know how you translate it in normal English. You know, like an episode. I mean this Masorah, this that they heard in that language that we just had. But in Arda, Masnu, they taught it in the following way. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Schach Pasel be'emta Pasel ba'arbo. Schach Pasel in the middle of a sukkah, Pasel's at 4 tfachim. Minetzad, Schach Pasel on the side of a sukkah, Pasel ba'arba amis, is not Pasel until Arba amis, of course, because we say Dofen Akuma. V'rav, Amar, Bein Minetzad, Bein be'emta ba'arba amos. Rav is now quoted in Arda as saying what Rabba said. That Schach Pasel is Arba Amos, whether it's on the side or whether it's in the middle. Yeah? So according to this, Rabba is also Rav in the Arda. So Al? In Arda. So this is a little bit of a discrepancy. What exactly did Rav hold? Rav held Schach Pasel in the middle of a sukkah is 4 tfachim or 4 amos. So it was a discrepancy in the Masorah. What exactly did Rav hold? So in Arda, they learned Rav differently. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Nasan alen neser shurachav arbo atvachim. Okay, you guys ready? Ready? In our, it says like this. Tonight, we learn Mishnah. This was the mission that we learned in the past. It was Machlok Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Boards. Using boards for schach. So if you remember, the Mishnah said Rabbi Yehuda held, boards are fine. Rabbi Meir says, boards are no good. That's a gzera, because you're not allowed to make your sukkah under a roof. If it's an actual roof, it's pasul d'oraisa, because it's not a sukkah. But if it's boards that you want to use for schach, so then the boards may be problematic. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say they're not. Rabbi Meir says that they are. And if you remember, there's a whole machlokas about the size of the boards. Is it only 4 tefach boards that are a problem, or even between 3 and 4, according to Rabbi Meir, that are a problem? So that Mishnah said, if you use a board for a schach, your sukkah is kosher, but you're not allowed to sleep under it. If you remember that. Okay, so we have a Mishnah that said if you use a board and it's 4 tfachim wide, your sukkah is still kosher. Nah, wait a minute. If we're talking, we don't know the case yet, right? We're assuming the case is where it's a strip that splits your sukkah into two. So your board's in the middle of your sukkah, or anywhere in the middle, it's just not against the wall. Then it's going to separate your wall from the rest of your sukkah. Bischach pasal creates a mechitza. It separates the wall from the rest of your sukkah at four tefachim, right? But this Mishnah says your sukkah is kosher. Doesn't make any sense. Bish lamin Rav. It's good according to Rav. Damar bein bam. Some bein ben inside bar. But Amos, if you hold like this version of Rav, that schach puzzle does not separate between your walls and your sukkah until it hits four Amos. Okay, so we're good. Why can't you sleep under it? Well, it's still schach puzzle. Okay, let's figure that out. But according to Rav, at least it makes sense. Because it's not a problem. Your sukkah's kosher because it doesn't break up the sukkah because it's not four amos. Okay, so bish, lamin Rav. Damar bein be'em, sa bein min asad ba'arba amos, mishum hachi, because of that, ksheira, the sukkah's kosher. El l'shmuel. But according to Shmuel, damar be'em, sa ba'arba, that holds in the middle of a sukkah, four tfachim. He's going to split your sukkah in half. What's going on over here? Oh, my ksheira, why is your sukkah kosher? Hachu ma'eskina. Here with what are we dealing? What's the case? I mean, that's odd. That the strip of schach puzzle is on the side. So you can't sleep under it. According to Shmuel, it makes sense, because it's schach puzzle. But we're going to see the open akuma. So we're okay. Toshma. Okay, let's try to figure this out another way. Come in here. Shnei sadinin, mitzdarfin. You go ahead and you take blankets. And you put them on top of your sukkah. But each blanket is not big enough to be problematic. Because what becomes problematic? Well, whatever shear schach puzzle is problematic at, right? Either for amos or for tefach. So whatever it is, you take two blankets, and each one of them is less than the shear. But together, they are enough to be a shear. So do you say the two blankets are mitzdaref? So what do you think? They're both schach puzzle. And it's the same kind of schach puzzle. So it should be mitzdaref, right? If you take metal poles, they're each a separate metal pole, but they join together to be schach puzzle, right? So shnei sadinin, two blankets, mitzdarfin, joined together to be problematic. Simple, right? Obvious, no? Shnei nesarim, two boards, ain't mitzdarfin, are not mitzdarfin. It's confusing, right? Because how big are these boards? If the boards are less than four tefachim, so what do you mean? Why would they be mitzdarfin? They're each a stick. If they are four tefachim, well, then they're already pasul, according to Shmuel. According to Rav, what? So, here's what we need to remember. There's what's called a gzeiras tikra. Gzeiras tikra means you're not allowed to use a board that's four tefachim, because you used it for a roof. Now, it's not schach pasul. It's not metal, right? It's nothing. It's not schach, it's not a kabatuma, right? But there's a separate issue by boards that it becomes a type of schach puzzle because it was used for making roofs. Are you with me? So it is a problematic type of schach. So one could argue that if it's for tefachim, then because you're not allowed to use those for schach, if you have enough of them side by side and you hit four amos, maybe that really is problematic. Or maybe we have a right to view them individually. I'm not sure. So that's what's going on. So we say, Tashma, Shnei Sadinim Mitzdarfin. Two blankets will be Mitzdarif to be Schach Pasol. So each one of them is less than four. But because together, they are a shear of four, so they're going to be Pasol. Shnei Nesarim Ein Mitzdarfin. Two boards do not join together. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Rabbi Meir Hold Nesarim Kisadinim. Boards will join together just like blankets. End quote. If you're going to say that Rav holds that schach puzzle is not a problem until four amos, not four tefachim, four amos, my mitzdarfin, then what does it mean that boards join together? Mitzdarfin the dalet amos. It means they're joined together to be a problem on the side. That they join together, no, sorry, they join together before amos. They join together before amos. Since you're not allowed to use boards for schach, so if you have too many boards together, once you hit dalet amos, you got a problem. It's going to break apart your sukkah into two if it's in the middle. But according to the other approach, where Rav holds that Tzach Pasul is in four Tfachim, well, the boards are already four Tfachim, are they? They're not four Tfachim? Hey Chidami, what's the case? Id Isbu Arba, if they're already four Tfachim, these boards, Lamu is Terufe. So what do they need to join for? They're already a problem. They're already a problem as they are. Join together, they don't need to join together, they're a problem. How can they be kosher? If they're not four Tvachim yet, then they're a bunch of sticks. What do you mean they join together at all? Why should they join together? They're too small to be a problem. Really, we're talking about a case when they have four Tvachim. With the four Tvachim, they're puzzle. So what do you mean they're mitzarif? Umay mitzarifin, what does it mean they're mitzarif? They join together. Mitzarifin, arba amos minetzad. It means that they join together to be four Tvachim. Four amos. On the side. So until the four amos, they do join together, but we don't care. Because we'll say dofen akuma. But once you hit four amos, you can no longer say dofen akuma, and they're mitzarif to that. So if you hold that tzchach pasul is a problem in the middle at four amos, then boards of four tfachim will join together to four amos. Makes sense. Because the board that's four tfachim in and of themselves are problematic because of Xeras Tikra. But they'll join together to become a bigger problem. So you'll have to separate them with some Tzach Kosher in between each one of them to make it good. And that'll be okay. If you hold that Tzach Pasul is a problem in four tfachim, then each board is already four tfachim. So what does the Mishnah mean? That they join together. Join together for what? They're already problematic. They're not going to split your sukkah in half. Maria says, you're right. You have to say the case is they'll join together on the side of a sukkah. So if the side of a sukkah has a four tefach board, no problem, tefach akuma. Another four tefach board, no problem, tefach akuma. Until you hit four amos. Once you hit four amos, you can't say tefach akuma anymore, and then it really will be a problem. All right, so we'll stop there. We're at the next Tashma, but we'll stop there for today. We're at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis.